Hello and welcome to episode 19 of Too Much Tully. On today's episode, we have fellow ex-reality TV contestant, podcast host, fierce feminist and WAP extraordinaire, Abby Chatfield. We cover what it's like to be the TV villain, the repercussions of that, and our unfortunate habit of falling in love with narcissists. Jess is here as always. Let's do it. All right, Jess, before we go any further in today's episode, I think it's vital that we discuss the fact that this week you've met my ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
How did that go down for you? Was he everything you ever dreamed of and more? You're nervous laughing right now. He's not even in the room anymore.
I know, because it's so goddamn awkward because he was, I'm sorry to say.
He
your
was?
Ex-boyfriend, yeah. And I mean, just being in the room with you too, because obviously, as we all know, I followed Drolly when you guys were on TV, and it was just bizarre having you guys talk, having your first conversation together, and then me asking the questions and being in the same room. It was just a really surreal experience, to be honest.
You got quite flustered there. There was a moment we had to almost have a break for you to collect yourself. He made you all giggly like a schoolgirl.
I know. But the gin did too.
Yeah, we did have a lot of gin, to be fair.
Too much gin, yeah.
Too much gin. No such thing as too much anything.
That's true.
Do you think that there was like chemistry between him and I? Like, was there like some kind of spark?
Yeah. But I mean, like, you're so charismatic anyway that there's always a body spark in the room anyway. But
cute. It was 100%. Nice to see you as well. Like, we haven't seen each other.
I know.
Lockdown. Like, you didn't realize how tall I was. Like, we've only met like a handful of times.
I know. I forgot. Which is bizarre. I can't believe I forgot how tall you were. We tried to get a photo. And
I know. It was impossible.
You had to tuck down.
It was impossible. We definitely have to go out for a proper drink, like just you and me.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The boys can come too, I guess. But we definitely have to have that, a proper drink. Mm-hmm. I have a bit of an update for you.
Tell me.
I have a date tonight.
Stop. Who with?
Well, the reason I'm telling you guys is because you're all very invested. It's with Orange Wine Boy.
Oh, I was going to say Orange Man.
Yeah.
Where's he taking you?
Well, hello. Have you met me? I took the lead. I made the reservation. We're going to Future in Richmond. Have you been before?
No. Not even heard
it's
of it.
It's great. It's a Japanese place. One of my friends owns it.
Sorry. I have been there. Yeah.
It's great. It's
yeah,
really
yeah,
yummy.
It's really nice.
Yeah, so it's finally happening after months of talking in lockdown, you know, him kind of fading off a bit and then coming back, me being like, not into it, and then he's funny for a day, and I'm like, back into it. Mm-hmm. So who knows what will happen. I felt I at least owed him a date. So it's happening tonight, guys. I will let you guys know how it goes. I'll fill you in.
Have you checked the wine menu yet?
I haven't checked the wine menu. It's very hard to get orange wine at restaurants.
Yeah.
It's exclusive. But yeah, how are you? How are you today? Why are you giggling?
No, I'm just laughing at the orange wine.
How are you?
I'm good. We are somehow dressed the same again.
I don't know
how this keeps bloody happening. And it's funny because I've got my little like pendant thing, which is silver, and you've got yours, which is gold.
Sometimes like it's
same, we're
yeah, exactly. We're the same opposite. Sometimes we are exactly the same, but not the same. And then even yesterday, we kind of were like, we dressed in the same story, as my stylist friend Lainey would say. We were kind of like, it's like we'd like, okay, are you going to go a bit like grungy, a bit black and white? Yeah, I'm going to go black and white too. I had my Docs on. Yep. You had your Ina Pelly tee on. Mm-hmm.
Black skinny jeans.
Yeah, black skinny jeans. We look cute together. We tried to get a photo, but I don't know if we nailed it. We might have to try properly.
No, I wasn't happy with it, but you said you were going to fix me, and I don't know if that happened.
No. I've fixed you. I just don't love any of them, you know? Like, they're cute. We'll probably, you know, we'll put it somewhere, but, like, I'm not going to frame any of them. Mm-hmm. We really should get some proper photos done.
Yes, on a site?
Yeah, like some actual photos.
Let's organize that. That'd be fun.
We'll get a stylist. We'll get a makeup artist. It'll be a whole thing. So today's episode is going to be a fun one.
Yes.
This is a long time coming. I reached out to Abby way back after she's on the show, when I kind of slowly saw what was happening to her. I was like, oh God, this poor girl. I kind of feel like we are cut from the same cloth, Abby Chatfield and I. She reminds me of myself at that age. She's only, like, she's a baby. I think she's 24 or something, 25 maybe. She was only 23 on the show. And I was 25 and I did Big Brother. So there are a lot of similarities. I feel like I see her do things and say things. I'm like, oh, it's so something that I would have said back then. And I have this really like older sister, mother duck vibe towards her. Like, I just want to protect her and like help her out. So I'm excited. Should we bring her in?
Let's bring her in.
All right. I told her to get a wine. I'm like, Abby, make sure you have a wine. So hopefully she's got a glass of wine. I've got my cider. Let's do it. Abby, firstly, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I would love to have been doing this in person over a vino or 10, but this is going to have to do.
I know. Thanks for having me, babe. I mean, are you drinking?
Of course, babe. Okay, Cheers. I messaged you this morning. I was like, make sure you have a drink. You and I haven't actually officially met in real life, which blows my fucking mind because it feels like we're best friends, like kindred spirits on more than a few levels.
I've like FaceTimed you during times of pain.
We've cried together. We've spoken about we've gone through breakups together. You were kind of just officially ending it with ex-boyfriend who you used to love.
I'm just not sure how to deal with it.
I've sent you books on relationships. Yeah. I've always said this to you and to people, you know, I've seen a lot of similarities between the two of us. You remind me of myself 10 years ago. And I've felt this really intense need to protect you from the moment I saw you on The Bachelor and once I saw what was happening in terms of editing and trolling in the media. It feels really weird that we actually haven't met because we've cried on FaceTime. We've sent 103 voice notes back and forth to each other.
I know.
Really ugly selfies.
I know.
And you've recently been hanging out with some of my very old and dear friends in Sydney, which is fucking unfair, number one. Like, I can message you and I'm like,
Toddies?
Yes. He's like, you're taking all my friends. You've got Si, you've got Simone, you've got Danny. I'm like,
I know.
You just taken over my life, bitch. Like,
well, Danny was like, oh, you and Tully are close, hey? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, where did you meet? And I was like, how dare you ask that question?
I was like, sorry.
I was like, we've not met. And he's like, so you've not met, but you like call her when you're upset. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I can't explain. We were supposed to go overseas together.
Oh yeah, of course. We were supposed to go to Mauritius together with Boohoo. Yeah. We were both so excited. I literally I always ask when they ask on these trips, I'm like, who else is going? And I'm always like, oh, fucking Drainer. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Abby. And I'm like, we're going to have the best fucking time. And that was the week the world shut down.
I know. It was crazy. Now, we're not sure we can go. And I was like, surely we can still go to Mauritius. And
surely we can just stay there. Like, can we just get locked down in Mauritius?
In Mauritius.
And so you and I had all these Boohoo bags of clothes, bikinis and stuff. And then suddenly we couldn't even fucking leave our house.
I know. I mean, but you had it worse than I did. You've just got out of your lockdown. So I've been gallivanting around. Like, I've been in Sydney every month for the last
I know, it
months,
really, so. I fucking hate you. As you know, you and I both have a lot in common. Specifically the fact that we both ended up as reality TV villains, were subsequently the victims of some pretty heinous online trolling and media coverage. And then we also seem to have a thing for narcissistic men.
Wow, what a weird little...
Oh my God, we're twins.
We're so cute. A few little fun flavors in there, don't we? We're so quirky.
We are so quirky. First things first, how are you? Because I know that you're currently in another round of quarantine.
Yeah, it's not as bad. I'm just on the border bubble. So I'm just self-isolating in a house in northern New South Wales. So it isn't I'm in full hotel lockdown like I was last time. I can cross the border. I reckon I could sneak across now, but I'm not going to risk it. Because I don't even check your passes apparently now. They just go on through, love. So I really could just walk across the border, but not worth it. I'm fine. I mean, I was pretty anxious this morning and I just recorded a podcast crying the whole time, but I've had some seltzers and I'm just getting triggered because of the narcissistic men that I used to date. I'm getting triggered by a nice man who's doing normal things and it's making me feel like I'm dating a narcissist again. So it's very hard.
I went through some shit yesterday. I had a balance with my kinesiologist yesterday, day before. Mm. And she dropped some fucking truth bombs on me that I was not prepared for. She was like, do you realize now, after dating this guy I was dating.
The one that I know about?
Yes. She goes, do you realize now, because I've been hanging out with this lovely new guy, just as a friend, but everyone seems to think we should be together, including my dead mum who came through with the medium and told me I should be with this guy.
Also, why are we the same person? We're hanging out with this guy, but it's not romantic. But it
But she made me realize, and I'm fucking furious with myself. She's like, you realize you're just treating him the way that this guy treated you. And I'm like, what do you mean?
I do that.
She's like, well, you're sleeping, you're having sleepovers, but you're not sleeping with him. I'm like, oh my God, 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 what am I doing?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, am I the narcissist?
Yeah, it's like when you realize that Carrie in Sex and the City was the actual narcissist and you spent your whole childhood feeling sorry for her and then you grow up and you're like, wow, maybe I'm just Carrie and I'm the victim all the time with Mr. Big.
Yeah.
And then now I'm treating my Aiden like shit. No,
yes.
I need to see my Aiden.
Yeah. My Aiden. Oh, yes. Same. This new guy, this other guy, we can just make that out. Where's my Aiden? And I'm just like, I'm fucking it up. Anyway.
Yeah, self-sabotaging energy. But also then you think, well, maybe I just want some spice. Like,
yeah, like I'm like, yeah. But then we have to remember, of course, abs, that our what we think is fireworks and butterflies is actually us being in fight or flight, and we're actually just fucking anxious because the guy's treating us like shit. Anyway. We're going to touch on that a bit later. Oh, yeah. First of all,
we've been talking for hours. We each have a separate podcast about this.
Jess, are you even here or are you? okay, so let's start off where we should be starting off, as per my notes, my elaborate run sheet we've got here.
Okay.
I wanted to get you on to talk about the fact that we have both been, you know, the TV villain. You were the evil sex pest on The Bachelor, and I was the cheating strumpet on. Well, they used to call it actually the cheating lesbian, because apparently that had anything to do with anything, on Big Brother. Do you remember the exact moment that you realized that you were TV's new bad girl?
Well, there wasn't an exact moment because I had it was really weird. Episode 1 and 2, I was like funny and like she's confident, like we love her. Nah, they tricked me. And then I think it was like episode 3 or 4 and I was like, things are going pretty weirdly. Like things seem to be declining. I think it must be around like episode like 6. I was like, oh yeah. And because I'm like such a, like, I don't want to say well read, but I'm like, I'm very aware.
You're
of
very
like,
smart.
Well, I'm aware of like patriarchal structures. I'm aware of like patriarchal, like, and I was like, oh, the Madonna whore thing's happening. Like I was like, Chelsea's, and I obviously knew what happened. So I was like, Chelsea's the Madonna, I'm the whore. Chelsea's going to win after last year with Honey Badger. They need a villain to be the person who comes second. Like they need someone to hate. And I was like, and all the girls in the house were fucking ganging up on me. So there's all this footage of them saying that I'm awful without anything actually happening. But it's like, if everyone's saying she's evil, she must be evil. And yeah, then it's all kind of a blur. Hey, because I'm not sure if you feel the same, but it's like when you read all that stuff about yourself, it all just kind of goes into one big awful cloud. Like you don't really know what was even said, but you know, it was awful.
I think it's really interesting. Our two shows are quite different in that your show was filmed, you know, months prior to it airing, whereas mine was a day, you know, we were live basically. So I imagine it would have been harder for you because I was getting, you know, a hell of a lot of abuse whilst I was on the show. But the minute I was evicted, I was then not on their TV screens anymore. So I kind of, whilst I still copped it. A fuckload.
Well, you still cop it though. The thing is we still cop it because that's what the Daily Mail want to
But protect. I think the hate kind of quietened down. I mean, there were rumors going around that I actually wasn't supposed to be evicted the night I was evicted, but the producers pulled me out because they were concerned that if I stayed any longer, the vitriol would get so bad that I wouldn't be able to handle it. And I was actually kept in. So basically once you're evicted from Big Brother, you spend the night up on the Gold Coast and then they fly back home the next day. But I was kept under suicide watch for like 3 days in a hotel because they were that concerned about me.
Really? So because what year was this? This was
2013. So you would have been about 9.
No, I was 18. Fuck you. I was 18. well, because were they like with social media, Instagram would have just been starting. So what was it, the articles that were fucking with you?
Yeah, so
Facebook?
So they had this like package ready to go when I was on stage with Sonia Kruger, who's the host of the show. She still is actually the host of the show. And they had this package to go and it was like most, you know, our most talked about housemate. My name trended worldwide on Twitter multiple times. Worldwide. That's not Australia wide. And they showed me this clip and I'm on, you know, I'm in front of a live audience and I was a social media manager at the time. So I knew what that meant and I knew the magnitude of that. And I was like, that ain't good. I was like, that's not trending because I, you know, saved a puppy. I'm trending for a bad reason. So
nothing trends with positivity.
You're right. Reason. Like Instagram was literally just about to take off, just about to boom. But there were Facebook groups, I Hate Tully Facebook groups with like 60,000 people sending me death threats, making memes about my sick mum, tweets, Facebook groups, and then just the media coverage was fucked. But I didn't have to deal with Instagram trolls at the time, no.
But I mean, having a Facebook group dedicated to you, I think is even more painful and insidious because it's like, wow, there's a group of bullies who are like out to get me, like you're fearful, you know what I mean? Rather than directly talking to you, they're like creating this like,
oh, and they're like, well, yeah, they're
all egging each other on.
Yeah. Yeah. And my family actually tried to get taken down before I was evicted. They reached out to Facebook a couple of times, as did Channel 9, but it was still it was still there when I came out. So that was a fun little read through, wasn't it? Mm,
mm. Back to you and your experience. How did you feel knowing that you were the villain at the time and seeing all these articles and whatnot? Like, how did you overcome it?
Oh my God, babe. I don't think I did overcome it. Still in therapy once a week. I mean, when the show was airing, I have like amazing friends that I've had for years and who are like, I think I'm very lucky with my friendship group in that they were very like on protective and supportive mode. Like I had a friend who worked in advertising who was very good at social media, who literally would like, I gave her my login and she would like every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, would go on my Instagram and get rid of all the negative messages. And she'd screenshot them for me because I wanted to put them into a Google Doc to like out them later on, which I have done a few times. And then she would like leave all the positive ones. So she like basically did my social media for me when the show was airing. And then when I was watching my girlfriends and I every week, I'd say with my same like five best friends, we'd watch it. One would take my phone and then another one would read out. She'd look up hashtag Bachelor AU Abby and would read out only the positive ones as it was coming through. So it was like I had this like little like circle of like protectiveness around me and my girlfriends.
That is so fucked that you even need like it blows my mind that you even needed that. Like the fact that you needed someone to daily go through your phone and delete, you know, probably I'm going to guess hundreds of messages.
Oh yeah. Sure. She called me one day and she was crying and she was like, Abs, I actually can't, I don't know if I can do this any longer. This is like week four and we had like four to go and it was only going to get worse. And she was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I'm crying every day reading things about one of my best friends. Like people were saying they want to physically harm you and saying you're this awful person when like, I love you so much. And I was like, yeah, babe, sorry. I was like, I'm not sure what you're going to do.
I had a girlfriend who was running a fan account. She was trying to like, cause you had to vote to keep us in the house. And so she was running like an account being like, hey guys, vote for Tully. And it got to a point where she was like, I can't, she like had to quit, had to stop doing it. Mm. She's like, I can't do this anymore. Cause it's just the hate is so upsetting. Mm. I think that's probably what I found the hardest. I feel like you and I signed up for that. And I feel like in some regards we have to just cop it because it is part and parcel with the show, like what we, you know, the shows we went on. But having to see my dad and my brothers read that stuff and having to see how them be upset by it. And then like dad originally was like taking every troll to town. I'm like, dad, you cannot do this. You cannot engage. You can't reply. You're egging them on. You're making it worse. And he's like, how can I sit there and read this shit about my little girl and not say something? I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. My uncle made an Instagram account just to reply, but he would always reply with, no, but it was called Uncle Robbie J. So it was obviously my uncle. Like it was like, it wasn't even like Robert Jenner. It was like Uncle Robbie J. And he would like reply, but it wasn't even like, fuck you. It was like really like smart, witty things. Like, oh, how pathetic you are, Susan. Like it was like really, and it would like actually make me laugh. I got to a point where I was like, Robbie, like stop reading all this stuff. And it was the same thing. It's like, how can you not like protect someone that you love? And also we don't have the chance to opt out. Like we're like, okay, well, this is it. We have to cop it somehow and get through it. But people, our friends and family, they are affected because they're like, well, this is unfair. And I see it happening to you. And they're simultaneously reading awful things, but also worried about the long-term effects on you. And like, if you're going to make it through, like mum told me when I filmed Reputation Rehab, like I didn't know this, but she told me that she would like go to bed every night crying, worried that I was going to kill myself. Like,
yeah, it's,
she didn't tell me. And I was like, that's so fucking awful.
It's crazy looking back at like how dark it got for me. Like how, yeah, I mean, I don't even know how I got through it. Like there were some days I remember hiding under my dining room table. My friends were coming over to like do a welfare check on me. Cause I completely had withdrawn from everybody.
Mm.
And I remember seeing them come on my front porch and like ducking under a table and being like, I couldn't physically handle company. I didn't want to speak to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. It's a lot. It was a lot.
Babe, it's a lot. It's fucking awful. It literally, yeah, I was like, I still was working a 9-to-5. So I would go into work and I've said this a million times in interviews, but like I would go in and like slick my hair back because obviously my curly hair is like noticeable. And then like not wear makeup with my glasses and flats and like my daggiest work outfit because I was truly scared someone was going to harm me.
I was too scared to go to Chapel Street because I thought someone was going to glass me. Like, yeah, like I literally thought someone was going to throw, I'd go out to bars and be like, is that guy going to, like.
Yeah. Because when you say, I think when we say like, oh, all the death threats that I got, because you and I guess, are unfortunately used to it, or where like we understand that's just like part of what happens, and we've had, and now we have the benefit of hindsight where it's, oh yeah, I got so many death threats. People don't understand that people are genuinely being like, I'm going to come and find you and kill you. And like regularly, or sitting like, I got voice notes. I got like a girl being like describing what she can do if she just sees me in Melbourne. And it's like, it's not just like, oh, a death threat. It's no. Like anyone getting one death threat, they'd call the cops and they'd be like, what the fuck if you went on a TV show? But we're getting hundreds, maybe even thousands of, from you're a dickhead through to I want to slit your throat open. Like, it isn't just like a death threat, you know?
No, it's not. And I remember people being like, I know where you live. I've seen you on this street, like a street near my house. I'm like, oh my God, they actually, and the fucking Daily Mail was shooting outside my house. I'm like, great, well, there's my house. There's the front of my house now on the internet forever. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Like, there was a photo of me in Daily Mail after my death threat that I got, and it was me like touching my, like the part of my key that gets me into my building, like early this year. And I was like, can I fucking not do that? Like, can I show which key I use to get into my apartment that I live alone in, like after I've gotten a death threat? It's,
there should be some fucking wild rules against that. Like, is that not fucking ethical? Like, honestly, yeah. We'll touch on this in a bit, but like, I don't know how the Daily Mail sleep at night. Like, I'm a journalist. I went to uni to do journalism, and I learned all about ethics. And I read some of these articles and I'm like, how do you sleep at night? Like, do you feel good when you go home after writing this shit about me? Like, do you feel comfy? But,
yeah. How are you going with that? Also, perhaps like under any other circumstances, perhaps would be considered stalkers and the cops would be on their asses. But the second you call, like, and one time, like when it first started happening and I didn't know how to handle it, I was like getting followed by this paparazzo in Brisbane. There's only one. And he would like drive, so it was like Fast and the Furious driving after me. I was gonna get grilled, like I was gonna get a fucking burger, like leave me alone. And I was like, I went into Chermside, this like Westfield, and I was sobbing, and I went to the cop shop in the Westfield and I was like, can you please walk me out to my car? Like, I genuinely, there's a man following me. And then when I was like, there's a man following me, taking photos of me, like, oh yeah, of course, got out there, like, why is he taking photos of you? And I was like, oh, I was on The Bachelor. And they were like, oh, as though because I was on The Bachelor, it doesn't matter. Yeah. They were like, you poor thing, until I was like, this is why this middle-aged man is following me around from my home every morning. Every day I'd park at different train stations because I was still at my 9-to-5. He would follow me from my mother's home, like from my mum's house. He'd follow me every fucking morning to get a photo of me walking to the train. Like, fuck off. You feel so unsafe. It's so awful. And like, to think that people think that being a paparazzo isn't the most fucked thing in the world. Like, my agents recently had a pap text and being like, I know where you live. My agent.
I've had paps reach out to me, and I know that other people do it. In fact, you know, I had Kieran on the show and he admitted to doing it before, like organizing, like.
Oh, I've done it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because my friend was, I was like, oh, she was like, it was during COVID, at the start of COVID. She was like losing some money. And I was like, I know that you get half of this. So do you want me to just go outside without a bra on? She's like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Wow. See, I just like, I would do anything in my power to stay out of the Daily Mail.
Yes.
So the fact that some people, I mean, I totally, you know, I power to you for like taking control of the narrative and like, you know, if you can make a buck out of it. I think Kieran said he made nothing out of it, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's working with the enemy. Like, I remember this young guy in Sydney texted me. He was like, hey, Tali, I just saw in your stories that you just landed in Sydney. Let me know if you want to like collab this weekend. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't do shit like that. But I have done it before because I've been like, oh, well, I'm going anyway. And like, there have been times where I'm like, I know I will get papped regardless. So I may as well just fucking, like, if I go, literally like me, I know when there's paps. And my best friend Christabel lives in Potts Point. And I would get papped waiting for Uber Eats. And I'm like, well, fuck me. Like, I may as well tell someone when I'm waiting for Uber Eats and get like a couple hundred dollars. Like, it's like, but I agree. I would never do it now because I'm not short of money. But when I was short of money, I was like, fucking,
mate,
fuck me up.
I honestly, the shit I've considered doing when I've been short of money.
The thing is with paps though, I think there's a difference between getting yourself papped doing things and setting up either your friends who aren't in like the spotlight apt, or like people that like try to go and I've even had this, people go try to go and like fake dates with you. Have you had this?
No, but I went on a date with a guy from Raya who's actually quite a big... Well, I mean, he's not...
Okay, I get it. You're on Raya. I get it. I Abby, can't fucking get Abby, on Raya.
I've tried, mate. I've given you a friend pass. I've sent them an email. Like, I've tried to get you on there. I'm so sorry. I keep trying. he's this British guy. He lives in the LA. He's an actor. He's been in, like... I don't want to say... I'm going to say his name, but we were papped in Bondi and they didn't... They're so dumb and lazy. They didn't know who he was. It was like Big Brother's bad girl spotted with new mystery hunk. I'm like, that guy's way bigger than I am and you've fucked this up royally.
They're such idiots.
Like every time I go to Bondi, I make sure I look cute because they fucking hang around Bondi. Like, you can't get away from them.
Oh, fuck. I don't give a fuck anymore. I actually don't care. I'm like, get a photo of me looking ugly and look hotter in person next time someone sees me. Like, I'm so beyond the Daily Mail. I'm like, fucking suck my dick. I hate
daily,
them.
Daily fail. I feel like, though, we've both been pretty successful in changing the narrative and showing Australia who we really are. But to me, it feels like a constant uphill battle. Like, do you feel like you have something to prove?
Oh, my God. All the time. I feel like people are waiting for me to prove that narrative right. Like, I feel like even like I don't feel the same, but like when you meet fans and they're always so lovely. But my best friend's Georgie's known me for fucking years. Is like, I watch you consciously try to be overly nice because you're scared if you aren't like a 12 out of 10. If you're an 8, they'll go, Shaq, she was pretty rude. And it's like, well, I'm out with my friends. Like, I had a girl recently, my friend was talking to me about her mum being having a few issues, and we were outside and she's having a cigarette and we were pretty drunk, and this girl came up to me and she's like, hey, sorry, having a DNM. And I was like, yeah, we are actually, like, yeah, we are
in the room, Kathy.
Yeah, and like, you know, she didn't know, and she's like, can I just quickly get a photo? And I was like, and I had to be like, sure. And it's like, because I know that if I went, actually, can we not, even politely, it's like, she is a villain. Like, you feel like all the time someone's waiting for a crack to appear, whereas people that get good at it, or that are the good guys, it's so hard to prove that they're, even as a normal person, we're all just kind of the same level. It's like...
I'm exactly the same. I literally go above and beyond. If a girl recognizes me, guys are never rude to me. Guys always just want a photo with me and they say hi or something. But
men
girls,
never say hi to me.
If I wonder why. They're like, fuck you and fuck your penis and fuck your patriarchy.
Yeah. Girlfriend loves you. And I'm like, really?
Really? I go above and beyond. I make them, like, if they're in the bathrooms, I make them my best friends. Like, oh, like, I'll ask their name. If they tag me in a selfie, I'll like go and put 100 million love hearts on it so that they know that I'm nice. And it's always it's so rare, but like the one time you're not, that person will take it to, like, I remember I was in a movie theater and this woman and her daughter sat like literally two seats away from me when there was a whole entire movie theater to sit at. And they're talking about me really loudly. Like, literally, I'm not kidding when I say two seats away from me in an empty movie theater before the movie had started.
Right.
They're talking really loudly about me as if I'm not there, as if I can't hear them, as if I'm deaf, dumb, and blind. And I sat there and I sat there and I sat there and I was gritting my teeth. And my friends were like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's fine. I'm used to it. Apparently, I'm not a human being. I don't know.
No, yeah, you're like an object.
And eventually I was like, hey guys, sorry, I'm right here. Like, I can hear what you're saying. It's not very nice.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, I can hear you talking about me right there. Anyway, this woman went and posted this massive thing on some public Facebook group and was like, my daughter and I met Tali from Big Brother tonight. You know, my daughter was a fan until tonight. She was so rude to me. I'm like, oh man, if you knew the fucking real story, like.
And the thing is, if you bite back then it's like, she's trying to defend her reputation. It's like, no, I'm telling the truth. I mean, I now like avoid going out, and like people that meet me are always so lovely. And I also feel like I'm like, I want to be nice to you because you're so lovely to me. And people are like, I love you. You've changed my life. But it's like when you've had 45 of those in a night, you get honestly like sleepy, like tired. Like you're like, I was here with my like best friends having a drink for the first time. Cause I'm always away. And like for the first time in weeks. And I'm like, if I just go, hi, how are you? I freak out. I'm like, Georgie's gotten used to, she rates me. She's like, that was a 4 out of 10, babe. That wasn't your best work.
So, it's also so rude to our friends. Like our friends keep getting interrupted. I hate when they
take photos.
They shove the camera at your friends. They don't even ask. They just shove the camera in your friend's face. Like, can you take a photo of us? And my friend's like, fuck.
But I've had people, the funniest one that I've had was a fucking, our girlfriend from high school. We were at JB Hi-Fi and the security guard was like, oh, yeah, I'm from The Bachelor. And I was like, yeah, like, da, da, da. And I was really sick that day, thinking like a kidney infection. And I was like, yeah, I am, blah, 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 whatever. How are you doing my thing? And she was like, you were a real bitch on that show. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think I was, but okay. And she was like, yeah, everyone hated you. And I was like, yep, totally. And then I still felt the need to, like, I couldn't be rude back. Even if someone saying to my face, you're a bitch, I couldn't be rude back because I knew she'd go on the Bachelor forums and be like, I met Abby, confirmed she's a bitch. Like, you have to be completely nice. And, like, obviously it's, like, a privilege for people being so nice to you and being lovely to you, but it's, like, no matter how they treat you, you have to always be the same 10 out of 10 back. And it's, like, because you're fighting against that edit that you got fucking years ago. Like, I'm a fucking asshole to some people, not to fans, but, like,
people. I think you call people out on social media, both of you, recently as well.
Yeah. It's like my dick.
Yeah, Abby's way more brave about that shit than I am. Like, I would never, like, I've reposted some awful stuff before, but I always hide their identity. Abby's like, nah, you know what? If you have the balls to say it to me, then you should stand behind it and you should own it. And
well, yeah. That's what I think. I think because as well, because people have this idea, and I'm sure you know this as well, Tally, like, people have this idea that a troll or someone that's gonna DM you something mean is like this, like, overweight guy in his mum's basement, like, eating Cheetos. Like, no. It's like it's your friends. Like, I've posted people and I've had, like, friends of friends DM me saying, oh my God, that's my friend's girlfriend. Like, I've had, and I'm like, yeah, they're an asshole. Like, I'm like,
well, they're like mothers of young women, like young girls. You're like, great. This is perfect.
It's always the wholesome mums. It's always
the Byron mums. You're like, really? Crazy.
Babe, anyone that has the word kindness in their bio is a complete cunt. They literally, like, I'm sorry, like, you are trying to make up for something. Like, there's, it's like being, like, human. Like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, the
breathe
basic
there. Level is kindness.
Yeah, like, okay, why do you have to make an appointment that you're kind? Like, you're like, I have someone that DMs me all the time and their Instagram is stayclassy_AF.
Oh, my God.
And
they trolls you.
Yeah, every day. And I reply to them. I'm like, oh God, like, have you come to my stories yet? Like, I'm like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And they'll message me like, whore slut. And I'm like,
do you have Tourette's, buddy? Like, what's up?
Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, I'm like, are we okay? Like, I'll put like a photo of like Danny and Sydney and he's like, you're a slut sucking his cock. And I'm like, yeah, man. Like,
sweet.
Cool. Wow, I sucked an adult man's cock as an adult.
You know what else, though? As someone who is close personal friends with Danny, if you are sucking his cock, it's a big cock. So power.
We
to
can't do that
friend.
To him. It's a really big power cock. To, we can't Hang possibly on. Do it to him. We it's a really big cock.
It's huge. It's so Jess, big. Just so it's you know. Oh, actually, Jess, you used to have a crush on him, didn't you?
Well, I met him.
No, hang on. Answer the question first.
Did you ever crush on Danny Clay?
Oh, I thought it didn't everyone. Who did like, I? Me.
No.
I
mean,
when I was 9, I was like obsessed with him.
So Jess, he came to meet me and my ex-girlfriend at the time, actually, Steph. We were at Freshie, where he used to live. He lives in that area. And he came straight from the Aries. So he had a big night. He was still wearing his suit and he wanted to go for a swim. So he shipped off into just his little like Bonds boy leg undies, went for a swim, came back. I was introducing girls at the time. So I was like, can you put that offensively huge dick away?
No.
Like, why are you not wearing pants? Anyway, we took a photo. I don't know why we took a photo.
Because his dick is comical. It's comical.
No, of the three of us, like, oh, a cute photo.
Me, I would be like,
check this thing out. Leaning Tower of Pisa. And then it ended up on a now defunct, because I tried to find it when Abby started hanging out with Danny. I really wanted to find this photo for her. To pre-warn her about what she was about to have to undergo. But it ended up on awkwardbonus.com. It was his whole thing and he was so proud of himself.
No, this is the thing. He wears budgie smugglers and he uploaded a fucking Insta. Oh, he sent me a photo like a couple weeks ago of him at the beach and it was like just like of his legs and he's doing budgie smugglers and I'm like, dude, wear board shorts. Like it's such like me wearing like a size 4 like fucking bikini.
He's going to scare little children away.
No, like, it's actually, it's offensive. Like, can he fucking, like, Danny, like, it's too much. And you see it and you're like, I don't know. I asked him one day.
I don't know what to do with this.
He's going
to
hate me for saying all this. I asked him after the first time we had, I was like, at what age did you realize your dick is that big? Because I was like, imagine.
He fucking loves it. He loves it. I've known him for like 10 plus years and it's always been a thing. He oh, he makes me laugh so much. He used to always come when we'd be in the Mardi Gras. We'd get a float and he'd come and be a part of like the lesbians, which is seriously one straight dude and a bunch of lesbians. He loves lesbians.
He loves bi women.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does. I'm surprised that him and I have never hooked up actually.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we actually spoke about this. I think it's because he has femme energy that bi women love him. Then he loves like strong women. So it's like he just, like, just the
he
energy.
He actually connects. Once hooked up with my girlfriend when I was dating her at the time. That was pretty dodgy of him. I remember that. Anyway, we digress. Enough about Danny.
Yeah, fuck some Danny Clayton podcast. Yeah, call him.
Like, his head and his dick are already too big. He doesn't need any more. He doesn't need any more from us. He gets enough fucking clicks.
I would die for him though.
I mean... I could think of worse people for you to end up with. I'd rather you end up with a friend of mine than some other narcissist. Hmm. So we've obviously both experienced quite a bit of trolling on social media. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything that comes to mind in terms of like the meanest, shittiest thing you've read about yourself?
Oh, on social media or in like an article? I mean, there was that voice note. You know, yeah, that voice note that was like, if I ever see you, cunt, I'm going to strangle you to death, cunt. That was pretty fucked. I mean... I've had a lot of like threats of like, if I see you, I'm going to strangle you. I think the worst one that like, they're scary, but they're not particularly, I mean, they are mean, but they're not like hurtful. They're not ones you think about. But I think the biggest one that I still like talk about in therapy is like all the ones that I got that were like, you don't deserve a relationship and you're so manipulative. Like they're things that you can't quantify. Like, yeah, I don't deserve to die. I know this, you know, yeah. I don't deserve to be glassed. I know this, but it's like when someone messaged you saying you're manipulative and people only like you because you like people would be like, you only have friends because you've manipulated them over the years to love you. And I would ask my therapist, like, I would be like, I don't know if people actually like me or if I've manipulated people into liking me, because when that's in your psyche, like you start to believe it. And they're just trolls. But if you read it every day, like,
yeah, it plants a seed. Hey, I remember being, cause I cried a lot on Big Brother. Like I cried nearly every day. I'm an emotional person. Like I cry all the time. I was, you know, it was fucking tough. And I was, you know, I had anxiety and I, you know, at the time I wasn't medicated for it. So I was having anxiety and panic attacks without having any kind of relief from that. You know, I was going through this whole, I cheated on my girlfriend. I had a lot of guilt I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. But then people called me emotionally manipulative and I was like, I'm just crying. Wait,
you might be like, am I? And you're like, well, I do cry a lot. And like, do I use this subconsciously? But my therapist had to be like, Abby, if you were manipulative, A, you would know it and you would have a goal and an outcome. And also you wouldn't be the one that's constantly with these narcissistic assholes who you'd be the one with an amazing boyfriend who you're cheating on, who you're giving chlamydia to. And she was like, you'd be the one winning. She's like, you're not winning, babe.
Babe, don't worry about it. You're not winning.
Yeah, she's like, it's not going well. Like you're with me once a week, sweetheart. Like, no.
It's funny you say that because I, again, saw my kinesiologist the other day and I was originally, when I was really bad, seeing a kinesiologist and a psychologist because they do very different things. They work in kind of different worlds.
Yeah.
And I find them both useful in different ways. Mm-hmm. Now I kind of only see my kinesiologist, which is kind of like also my therapist. And she, the body will tell you or her when I have to come back. You know, she's, what does she call it? Body sense test? I don't know what it's called. She will test,
isn't it?
She, what is it?
Muscle testing?
Yeah, muscle testing. Yeah. That's your muscle test. Jess now sees the same kinesiologist.
She needs to go to one.
She's amazing. She muscle tests and she'll be like, okay, I need to see you in 13 weeks. I need to see you in 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the quicker, the further away you need to see her, the better you're doing.
Right.
And she's like, you know what? You're in a good place. You're on path. I'll see you in 2 months, right? You're like, oh, sweet. Amazing.
Yeah.
I saw her 2 days ago and she's like, cool. See you in 2 weeks. I was like, uh-oh.
Oh no, things aren't going well.
I was like, oh shit, it's that bad, hey? Okay, cool. Yep. And she's like, yep, I take home this geranium oil and some, I'm like, oh, it's bad. Is it bad? It's bad, isn't it? It's bad. The worst thing I ever received that has stayed with me to this day was because my mum, I think you're aware, but she passed away from, she had early onset dementia since I was really little. And it said, oh, makes me feel sick. It said, it's something like, it's a good thing your mother can't remember who you are because she'd be ashamed of the person you are today. And I was like, it's going to make me cry now.
Oh, darling.
And I was like, oh, because that's something that I always, you know, worry about. I'm like, would she be proud of me? Would she have been embarrassed about me on Big Brother? Would she have supported me? And so to have someone, I was like, oh, that's heavy, man. It's really heavy. That's probably the worst thing that I read about myself. I was like, because it kind of just like hit a nerve. I was like, fuck, he's probably, maybe he's right.
Well, yeah. We know that's not the case after last week's episode.
No. Are you crying?
No, fuck off.
Yeah, Jess, quick takeover.
Oh my God. Anyway, Jess, so what's the next question, babe? What's the next thing?
Well, I don't know. It could trigger more tears, but I guess I just wanted to know, after your experience in reality TV, did they look after your mental health afterwards? Did they check in? Like, we've already heard from Tully in previous episodes that they didn't necessarily help her out long term.
Didn't they? So I think by my season, there'd been enough deaths in like Love Island UK and that they were really wary of it. I mean, on The Bachelor, this is the thing, like when people like Jamie Dornan and shit are like, they give you fucking shut up. They give you support. I mean, I have a psychologist I could call right now. Mm-hmm. I haven't spoken to in 6 months and be like, hey, I need a session right now on Zoom. And she and Warner Brothers would pay for it. Like, I could talk
amazing. To
her the rest great. Of my life. I can call a psych. And also, I'm pretty sure some contestants have gotten Warner Brothers to pay for their psychologist as well. But I just want to do that because I don't want them to be connected to my psych. But it's like, if I was ever really desperate for a psychologist, I'm pretty sure they'd pay for it. And they also have a wellness person. So you have a psych and a wellness person. So you have someone that you can text or call. Same with the psych, but the wellness person is a bit more like a friend. Mm-hmm. Like a caretaker kind of thing.
That you like an AA text. Sponsor.
Yeah, literally. And you can be like, hey, like I got this message. How fucked is this? Or like even like my boyfriend broke up with me. So they like our psychs and our wellness people, I think, actually do the most they can do. I mean, the only thing that I can think of that could be more that they could do would be monitoring comments on the posts. But the thing is, they would post so much of me on the Instagram because they knew it would get like posts of Chelsea being wholesome with Matt and being like nerdy would get like 40 comments. And then me humping him on a beach would be like 7,000 comments. She's a slut. She's a whore. And I know that gets traction for the show. So it's like, they could monitor comments, but they also, I mean, like that's kind of the point of the show is to get viewers, is to get ratings, is to get money. So yeah, I think Bachelor now do well. I'm not sure later, earlier on, I think maybe they learned from some mistakes and, you know, the wellness person wasn't on Batch, but was on BIP. So I think they're still even progressing right. Their plans. Yeah.
That's great. Cause as I said before, they offered me the show psych. We had a show psych too, but I just found like he was just a bit of a puppet of the network. And like, I'd say something like, the show's made me feel this way. It's like, but was it the show? And I'm like, well, yes, this has all happened since doing this show. So yes, it is the show.
So it is. Yeah.
So I ended up saying, look, I was in such a bad place. Like, I'm going to find my own and you're going to pay for it. And I just went out and found my own and invoiced them every time I went and saw them.
And they paid for it?
Yeah, but I had to do that. That was my initiative I took.
Yeah.
No one else. And I just asked. I was like, fuck you. I was so broke after the show. I was like, I don't have the money. And I fucking desperately need it. Like, I'm borderline suicidal and this is your fault. So you're paying for it.
Yeah, no, it's hard as well to like stick up to the network and to stick up to the producers because you feel like, I mean, with Bachelor anyway, you feel like you are going to lose other opportunities by like talking back.
And if you want to work in the media, you're like, I can't bite the hand that feeds me. I might want to be on the network. Like, I might want to do something else on the network, not another TV show.
Yeah, or like even like, yeah, like the producers that you know, they might be told to like blacklist you or like you, and not that this has been threatened to me, but you have these thoughts where it's like the media, Australian media is so intertwined. I mean, like how many mutual friends do you and I have just from like being in this industry? Like it's so small. And you think if I fuck one person off, then there's going to be everyone hating me. So if I make a producer or anyone from Channel 10 or from Warner Brothers or from whatever the fuck you're dealing with, then you are like, well, that's going to put like a black mark on my name and I can't be, I can't be difficult. Yeah. I have to be like, I'm just going to deal with my own shit. But I used to get calls from Channel 10 and they'd be like, I'd be crying, be like, I want to fucking kill myself. And they'd be, I'd be like, can you at least tell me what's happening 4 episodes down? Can you tell me what's happening? Cause you're lying to me every week. They would like sugarcoat it. They'd be like, it's funny, babe. And it'd be like me, Frank and Bitten to be say like, I hate her. She's a bit like, it was like, they would be like, it's just funny. And I was like, you need to start telling me like, or I'm going to call like the EP. I'm freaking the fuck out. And they'd be like, you can't do that. This is your time to show the network that you're strong. So I wouldn't.
I love that Stockholm syndrome for us. I love that.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And like, I didn't say anything. And like, yeah, like, I guess like I got to go on Paradise. Like, okay. But like, you get kind of gaslit by them. And then and then even more so, like, I don't know how edited Big Brother was, but, like, I'm assuming a little bit, but, like, with Batch, because they have 6 months to edit it, it's, like, they would tell you, like, I recently, on Reputation Rehab was talking about how the Gemini conversation was not that at all. And I was like, it literally did not happen. It was just different conversations cut together. And I had to explain that. And then I was on Will and Woody and they're like, why did you wait so long to tell everyone, like, if that's true? And I was like, because they tell you no one's going to believe you if you say it's edited. Mm. Like, they gaslight you. They're like, no one's going to believe you. Don't say it's edited. Say that it was a funny thing. And everyone's loving the humor. So you have to kind of make up stories as to how things happened without using the word edited, because they tell you if you say it's edited, no one's going to believe you.
No, to be fair, when that promo came out, and I remember they wheeled that shit. It was on after every show. It was on every ad break. To be fair, I remember Matt came out and defended you and said that's not how it went down at all and that's not what she's like.
Well, Matt was like, Matt, the thing is, I think Matt was told the same thing as us, and Matt was like, I think Matt still felt guilty for how everything went down, and I think Matt's a really good guy, but it was like...
You still like all his posts.
And can tell I've had an... I'm kidding. I think Matt's a really good guy. And I think that Matt felt bad for how it all happened. And I think he felt the least that he could do was defend me in that. And he was like, in the way that the only way he could think of was like, it was a joke. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And also it made him look dumb for keeping me if I actually said that. So it was like, he was like, it was a joke. Like, she didn't mean that. All the while knowing that he and I did not have that conversation ever, that it didn't happen.
It blows my mind. Honestly, I'm sure it happens in other shows, but I don't know why it's so much more obvious on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, how they just chop and change the audio. I'm like, that is not even in the same room. You've taken audio from like an outside area and put it in an inside conversation. Like, I'm like, where have you, what kind of magic are you pulling here? Like, where are you pulling this shit from?
You can even hear, there's an episode on Eleanor's last date in top three. You can hear Matt saying the word, he goes, I think he says something like, I just think it's all bullshit, right? Or I just think it's a bit shit or something like that. And you can hear the word shit is him taking off his mic. Like, you can hear it's like muffled and like a moving microphone kind of thing. And it's like, they literally have you mic'd up every time there's cameras there, waiting, saying, swearing, saying, what a bitch, saying everything. They have a vocabulary. They have your entire vocab after 3 months.
Yeah, so true.
Any sentence to be said. They have everything. And the way that I speak is very... I mean, I swear a lot. I'm very like, same. I'm very extreme. Like, fuck that. Or I'm like, I fucking love that. Or I'm like, I fucking hate that. So it's like, it's very easy to make me be like an extreme character either way, you know?
It sounds psycho if you cut all that together. Speaking of Reputation Rehab, you know I'm friends with Zoe, right?
No, I love Zoe.
Yeah. So Zoe Norton Lodge, her younger sister, Georgia, is one of my oldest, bestest friends. And my actual best friend, Sophia, did your makeup that day.
Oh, yes. I love her. It was so fun. I loved her. She
messaged me. I think she was still on set. I think you were recording. And she's like, oh, my God. She's like, I just met Abby. I did a makeup for this show we're doing. And she reminds me so much of you. She's like, it made me miss you. It was like having you in the room, but it wasn't you. And I was like, yeah, I know. Oh. She reminds me of myself too. Like a lot.
Well, I love us.
How was that experience? Because I think you fucking nailed it. I think you handled yourself so beautifully. You spoke so eloquently. You know, the feedback I've seen you regram is so overwhelmingly positive.
No, it was great. I was really excited to have like a different, because obviously, like you said, like we've made our own little communities, I guess, in our Instagram accounts, but it was nice to have a
new audience.
Platform, yeah, that was the ABC, which is probably all the middle-aged mums that fucking hated me.
Who hated you, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So it was nice to at least have that little thing. And like Zoe and Kirsten were amazing. And it was actually a lot of fun filming it and doing it. And I only agreed to do it because I wanted to go and see Danny. And I was like, an excuse to go to Sydney. He doesn't know that. But I was like, oh, I have this work to do in Sydney. I just wanted to.
Can I maybe crash at your house? Because like I tried Airbnb, but like it's so exy at the moment. So like, is that what you do?
I did that last. That's why I was like, I have 4 days where I have nowhere to stay. Can I stay at your house? And he was like, yeah, babe. And I was like, thank you so much. But that time I was staying with Simon. But I literally just went on like on a whim and I was like, oh, reason you're to Sydney, reason to get the fuck out of Brisbane, because it was they were gonna pay for my quarantine to get back into Queensland. And yeah, it was so good. It ended up being amazing. People are watching it, like I think it's doing much better than even they thought it was gonna do. But it's
I really found it really good. Interesting. And I was kind of jealous. Like I wish I'd had the opportunity to do something like that back when I was relevant.
Yeah. I mean, it was good even for me to, cause you kind of, I don't know about you, but you kind of like, after seeing all these articles about yourself and after seeing all the edits and whatever the fuck and the trolling, you like almost gaslight yourself into thinking that what your reality was wasn't how it mm-hmm. was. And like seeing them edit that final scene. So edited a final scene for those of you who don't know. And it was basically like they edited it so that Matt chose me, then I rejected Matt. And it was so simple for them to edit that. And it was believable to me who was there, who was not with Matt. I was like, wow, this is like making me feel like I just won and rejected him. And it was like, it proved to me that I wasn't fucking crazy basically as well. So that's why it was good for healing, good for me.
I don't think you're fucking crazy. Speaking of the media,
but tell you we're the same person. So like, what do you mean? It's like,
if you're crazy, I'm crazy.
Babe, Jess Brody missed me today. She's like, babe, if you're crazy, I'm crazy. And I was like, well, we're fucked.
Yeah, legit. Like, yeah. But also, I'd rather be crazy than boring. Like, no one's ever accused me of being boring ever in my life.
Oh, never. I remember one time I was on a date with a guy, a first date. We were at home after dinner and I was doing his tarot cards. And I was like, I'm just worried you can get bored of me. And he was like, somehow.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
I was like, anyway. I was like, what kind of reading do you want to do today? And he was like, it's our first date, you psycho.
That's so funny because I bring reflex cards to first dates. Make them tell me like their deepest, darkest secrets and trauma, like at a bar.
Babe, Danny shamed me for, I was at his fucking parents' house when we were recording the podcast. Like, hey, like after this, can you play Reflex? And he was like, I feel like Flex's game is people who don't have conversation by themselves. And I was like, babe, I get that you're really smart, but this is like weird questions you don't even think to think.
Totally. That's why I love it.
Grow up.
I honestly have bought, especially during fucking lockdown, I have played that game a lot. I have all her expansion packs. I paid for all of them, by the way. And love her. Love Flex.
Love her.
So excited she's on Big Brother. Cannot wait to see her on Big Brother.
Do we have confirmation yet?
No, but we all saw the pap shots, didn't we? Like,
oh, I didn't see the pap shots.
Oh, on the Daily Mail, I got pap shots of her on stage with Sonia.
I could just tell because she was in quotation marks.
Yeah, who's doing her socials right now?
On my photo saying, so pretty, love heart. I thought, that is not Flex.
To be fair, whoever is doing her socials right now is doing a fucking good job. They're posting like all her usual TikTok funny videos, posting like old, you know, fashion throwbacks. So they're doing a pretty fucking good job. It's a hard Instagram to take over. She's phenomenal.
It is, but the comments are not on point. It's not like so pretty, love heart on every photo. And I'm like, that Flex would be like, yes, bitch, fucking die. And I'd be like,
is it a bot? Maybe it's a bot.
Maybe. Considering want to come just in the room with me? 18 plus cross.
We just kind of briefly touched on dating, but you and I have also bonded over the fact that we have both been in relationships with narcissistic men before.
Yeah, but yeah, sorry.
Continue. Can you tell for people that maybe don't listen to your podcast or haven't heard the episode, can you tell us a little bit about your experience?
I mean, I'll give like a elevator pitch because it's very hard to encapsulate it. I mean, the podcast is two parts and it's like an hour and 10 minutes each part. And I've only released one part, but basically my ex-boyfriend is one of many bad ones, but he's the worst one that lasts a long time. We were on and off for about 3.5-4 years. His top notes, gave me 3 STIs, cheated on me with people that I knew, people that I didn't know. It was really fun. I'd find out by Instagram DMs. I'm still finding out people that he cheated on me with. Like last week, someone told me that he had a girlfriend when we were dating again at the start of the year. I had an abortion, and the night that I had the abortion, he left me to go out with the boys, and the next week broke up with me because I wasn't fun anymore. When my grandma died, he was supposed to come and make me dinner, and he ended up just ghosting me, and we didn't talk for 4 months.
That's where we were FaceTiming and crying to each other.
Yeah, and he's basically the worst person to ever exist, and I hate his mother as well. Keep that in. I fucking hate his mother. I hate his family. They're awful people, and they're the reason why he's so fucked up. And I'm almost certain he is a narcissistic sociopath, but he's just the absolute worst. But I still was crying 2 days ago because I heard a rumor about him that was quite awful going around Brisbane. And I was like, I just want to protect him. So I'm like still a little bit like he's like my kid. And when he's got a new girlfriend now. And it's like at this weird point where, I don't know if I told you this. I think I must have told you this weird thing that I had. When I found out that he had a new girlfriend, I was like scream crying with Christabel. I was like, this hurts so much. And she's like, but why? Like, you don't want to be with him. You guys actually outgrew each other. Like, you're like leaps and bounds beyond this dude. Like, you broke up with him last time. Like, you know, he's awful to you. He makes you feel like shit. What the fuck? And I mid crying was like, I feel like I've lost a kid.
You tell me this.
Right? And isn't that the weirdest thing? And I was like, I feel like I've been taking care of someone for so long and like thinking about his needs, and now I have no like purpose without taking care of him. So when I hear things about him still, I'm like, how can I fix it? And I messaged his friend. I was like, hey, I heard this about, I'm gonna say his name, about blah, blah, blah. Is he okay? And he was like, yeah, dude, he's fine. And I was like, but I feel like he's not. So I'm like, I'm just, you know, it's just a bit fucked. Narcissists just fucking draw you in.
Every time you talk about him, there's so many similarities. And so I can empathize and I've been there and it's fucking so damaging and it's so hard to get out. Like, I just feel like even the other day, my kinesiologist was like, oh, you know, I think that the reason you're not giving, well, everyone knows who he is now, Michael, a fair go is because you're still, she wants me to do a cutting of the ties ceremony. She's like, you don't think you deserve it. And so he's trying to love you. He's trying to be kind to you. And you're like, oh, what is this? Like,
oh my God. A friend of mine that day was like, do you think you deserve Danny? Again, I'm like, hopeless.
We can't even keep our own secrets. We can't keep our own private life.
There's no need. It's our podcast. There's no need to say these things. And I'm like, you guys,
we're outing ourselves.
I can edit it. And I'm like, fine, guys. Now it's on the mic. But she was like, do you think you deserve Danny? And I started crying. I was like, no, I deserve a fucking nice person. What the fuck?
I feel like I'm in such a spider web and I'm trying. It's such a process. Every time I feel like I'm moving forward or I'm getting better, even when she was saying this, Janelle was saying that she was like, you know, you need to cut this guy, you know, you need to let it go, blah, 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 blah. And the whole time she was speaking and I was listening, but the whole time I was like, all I wanted to do in that moment was run to him. The guy. Her even saying that, being like, you've got to cut him. I need to actually physically touch him. I'm like, no.
Okay, babe, literally I had not actual plans, but when I heard this thing about my ex and when he actually blocked me for the first time, which is the best thing he could do for me. I'm actually stoked about this, but he blocked me and obviously that still hurts and it's so upsetting because never that before. And I literally was, this is so fucked, for a split second, because I'm in fucking quarantine, I was like, all right, when you get home, go to his house,
yeah,
and be like, I know you need me. Yeah, even if he does, what the fuck? Like, why
have you, had those thoughts? I've had so many of these thoughts before when things have been really bad he, you know, he's ignored me for weeks on end and I've sent literally 100 begging, pleading messages. Please just talk to me. Like, please don't do,
okay.
Please just talk to me. I've thought, like, you know, if I, oh, it sounds psychotic. It's like, if I fell down the stairs and broke something and ended up in hospital, if I got in a car crash, he'd come and see me.
Yeah.
And it would all be fine.
Well, this
he'd realize that, like,
well, he realized that he actually loves me and he's worried about me. Yeah. So I had that thing with my ex until, cause he actually was always there for me when I actually needed him. Like, even like moving house, if I was like, I need you for this, he would come. Or if like something happened, when my grandma broke her hip before she passed away, like 2 years before, he, you know, would follow through if he was mentally okay. But when grandma died and he wasn't there for me then, it kind of was like this thing of like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. If I cry about grandma still every day and it's like been 5 months and I still cry about it every day. Like, I can't like see, I took a photo the other day of a girl with her grandma, with Danny, and I was like, is it your grandma? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And I cried at the whole motorbike. I cried home. Like, I was in a movie. Like, I was like, I still am so sad about grandma. So it's like worst thing that ever happened to me. And he wasn't there for me. And I was like, this proves I could fucking break my leg. I could fucking get sick. I could have a mental breakdown. I could be in a cycle. I could have all these things in my head. I've had that thing with this split second moment of like, well, if I was hurt, I know he'd come. And now I know he fucking won't. If it doesn't suit him, he won't.
It kind of, I've wished before. I'm like, oh, I just, he'll do something really bad. And I'm like, you know what? Nah, this is too far. I'm glad he's done this because I can't come back from this. I can't defend this to my friends anymore. I can't defend him to myself. And then like a week later, I'm like, straight back. Anyway, yeah, how are you healing from this? Because I know that you see a psychologist regularly. You're very open about that, which I love.
Thanks, babe.
You're doing a lot of work on yourself, which yeah. I think is so commendable.
Actually, a big thing is has been talking to you about, because we do have similar patterns in going back, and it's actually helped me a lot because I think, like, because you and I, we give each other the same advice.
I know. And we're like, can't take our own.
Can't take our own. But the thing is, when you have friends that aren't in like a narcissistic cycle and they are in like these healthy relationships, like, you deserve better. You're like, you don't get it. Like, you don't understand what this is like.
And the highs are so high. Like, the highs are so high. You almost like, it's what I'll take all of this pain for that one high. If I get one, it's like a fix. It's an addiction. You're like, if I just get one more night with him like that night,
cuddling,
I'm happy with the next 2 weeks of being ignored.
Babe, it is an actual fucking addiction. Like, I literally was thinking that I was like, if I just got to hug him one more time, like it would be a hug him in bed. Like, it would be beyond anything. But talking to you, because you're as tragic as I am, but also because you and I, but we're not dumb, isn't we? We're smart, and we're not like
pathetic. That's the most annoying thing. It's like, we should know better. We are smart. We're self-aware. Mm. We know what we're doing, and yet we're still repeating it. Does that make us fucking actually insane?
No, I think we're just people with emotions as humans. And I think we're very emotional and very like I think we give our all to relationships. And I think it's hard when it's kind of thrown back in your face, or partially thrown back, partially kept. And then they want more and more and more, and like, fuck you. And you're like, fucked up. But I think talking
bread crumbing, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just enough. Yum, yum, yummy. And then like,
I used to say to my ex, I'd be like, it feels like I'm a hamster in a little hamster cage, and there's that little weird thing with the ball I drink water out of. and it's like a little drop at a time. And if I press the button, like if I'm like, ah, I'm crying, that's when I got the water. Like, that's what it feels like.
If you don't think we're making that into a video clip for the show, you are sadly mistaken, because that is just
me. And it's like, and then you get the little like droplets, and you're like, yes, affection, and the water's out, and you're like, what the fuck? And then one day it's full again, and you're like, oh, so like that I think really helps.
I think the best analogy ever.
That's amazing.
But do you know how I feel? It's like you're just like drip fed love, and then you're in the desert, and then one day you get a bottle of water, and then for weeks you get nothing, and then they're like, here's a droplet to keep you alive.
We're actually hostages. Like, we're in a hostage situation, and they're giving us the bare minimum to keep us alive, but not enough to like make us, you know, happy or free.
Happy at all, literally.
Can I ask you a question? Do you know, I'm sure you do, do you know your love languages and what order they're in?
So I've actually, Danny, again, also I'm not dating Danny, just a
I'm gonna
up.
Say you mention it as much.
No, but he actually, okay, but even as a friend, we're not anything at all. Like, we're actually not. So he's gonna be crazy. We're really good friends, and I feel like we're friends plus, we decided. We're not friends with benefits, we're not friends plus subscriptions. So we're like, hold hands, so we're not like dating.
That's actually all I really fucking want. Hey, like, give me the emotional support. I don't mean that. I fucking love sex.
No, but Danny basically, like, because his love language, even with his friends, is very much acts of service. Mm-hmm. And I think I always thought mine was physical touch and quality time. But I think the reason why I thought that is because in my like emotional, like romantic formative years, I dated guys who wouldn't give me quality time and would give me a lot of physical touch. So I was like kind of compensating. So all I crave is quality time. But like, fuck me. Can we bleep him out?
Yeah, sure.
This guy that I'm
this random obsessed, guy I've just met.
This random guy I've just met last week. None of you would see my Instagram stories ever. He has been so good with like acts of service, like to the point where I will call him having a breakdown about like work, and he'll be like, "Do you want me to write your like advice article for you?" And like,
he used to have one in Dolly magazine, so he could.
I know. He actually could, right? And I'm like, oh, he'll be like, do you want me to help you with a podcast? Can you edit your podcast? Can I like, and
he's such a good boy.
Okay. And it's like, even as a friend, I'm like, that level of like acts of service has made me realize that like, perhaps my love language has actually been formed by what I've lacked and what I've had extreme experience in. Like, I would be fucking my ex-boyfriend 4 times a day, like obsessed all over each other, but then he'd leave randomly, and he would never do acts of service. He would never do gift giving. So I didn't know.
Yeah, right.
How that feels.
I think it evolves and changes over time. Like, you should do the quiz. You should get off this chat and do the quiz.
Well, I've done the quiz a million times. Actually, the quiz for The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, and you have to do the quiz.
Did you really?
Yeah. So they figure out, like, who to match you with. And, yeah, it's really weird. So like I've done the quiz, I've done it for my podcast, I make other people, I made a guy, the tarot card guy, I made him do it at dinner. Like
I also make my dates do it. It's crazy of us to do that. Hey, just quickly, can you just sit through this like 100 questions? It's really quick though, it's really quick. Just quickly, just do it now.
And I'm like, do you understand the question? Do you want me to explain with an example?
Yes.
So I think that what I need is a healthy, right now, to answer your question, it's like physical touch and quality time. But I think that it probably is more so like acts of service and quality time, you know?
Mine's acts of service. Mine goes acts of service, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmations, I think gifts.
I think gifts are last.
Gifts should. Me too. But I just don't think the questions are always like, would you rather some alone time with your partner or a present? You're never going to pick the fucking present, are you?
Never.
Although this is controversial though, because I said this before on the podcast. I'm actually going on a date with him tonight. I was talking to this guy on a dating app, and I made him do the quiz. Obviously.
Duh.
And he had gifts number one. And I was like, I don't think you're the guy for me. Hey.
No, but see gifts as well. Like I love my favorite, my like ultimate little like, and this is very specific, very niche gift giving energy is when you go to a servo, if you're like going, if you're driving to the coast.
You just buy them like treat.
Or like they get you like your favorite chockey. Yeah. Like that literally makes me like,
nothing makes me wetter than seeing when you're seeing a guy and he goes into the server to pay for the petrol and he comes out with a treat unexpected. Yes.
Oh, a surprise treat.
It's great. I don't care what the fuck it is. Honestly, get me a bag of Cheetos, be like, fucking, you're so cute. But if he nails it.
Get me a Bueno.
Yeah. Like if he like gets me a Twirl, I love Twirl. Peppermint Arrow, I'm like.
That's what's nice. I mean, I think it's hard to like tell. I think again, because of being in such dysfunctional relationships, like my ex, I'll say his name. My ex is not the only fucked person I've dated.
Oh no, neither. Let's not put it all in one person.
Like, but he is the big one. But like, I've had nice guys in between. But like, there have been guys before who were like verbally abusive, who were just fucking compulsive liars. There's guys after that have been like a bit fucked. But like, I think in order to know my love language, I probably need to be in like an actual stable, nice relationship where the person like appreciates me. Cause I still do crave physical touch a lot. And I think I just kind of need an all round of everything. But I think
isn't that ideal, right? I mean,
some people like Danny are like acts of service. And when I'm like, well, I'm going to complain about him on the podcast. Don't worry.
I know what you're going to say because we've spoken about this off air. So I know what you're going to say. We have just touched and confirmed that you are single at the moment.
Yeah.
You've also recently come out as bi. And I actually had a go at you because I was like, fuck you, bitch. Like, first of all, well, how do I not know this before I'm reading about it in the Daily Mail. Secondly, I was like, as someone who, I took it personally. I was like, as someone who, you know, is publicly bi, fuck you for not telling me first. Mm. Like, it's that whole straight girl thing where it's like, why haven't you hit on me? Like, what?
Babe, well, I did. Then I had to go at you because I was like, why haven't you asked me out? Then you're like, you're not my type. But I was like, then why the fuck do you care if I haven't asked you out? See, you're my type. I'm like a femme energy. I said with the girl last week, actually. I was really proud of myself.
Did you? How'd you go?
Yeah, it was really good. I had to ask how to eat pussy because I haven't done it in a few years. But I finally worked with the courage and found a girl that I was attracted to and it was fun. Yeah, and then I did, and then I've decided that I'm either like full lesbian or like, oh, I'm gonna get cancelled for this. Oh, I don't want to say what I'll text you what I wanted to say here, but okay. I feel like I'm like either like full lesbian or like I'm like the 4% bi. Like I'm like it's either I'm like repressing some shit or I just like having sex with girls. I'm like bisexual but hetero romantic.
Yeah, right. I say
I'm a full lesbian in denial.
I said I was 70-30. I thought I was 70% gay, 30% straight. I've always hated the term bi. I don't know why. I've always struggled with it. I feel like it doesn't really describe me properly. I mean, these days I'm so fucking confused. But
I mean, I just feel like I'm like, I'm into people. It's like so cliche, but like I like who I like, but I genuinely am just like
I like the personality, not the sexuality.
But like there's it's also really weird as a woman. Do you find this? Like there are a lot of beautiful, really attractive women. There are so many. Like you walk into a pub and there's like 100 hot girls and there's like maybe one half hot guy. And you could maybe be attracted to one of them, but you know physically girls are attractive. But I find when there's one guy who is like conventionally attractive, I will always want to fuck him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense at all? Like, and it's so weird. I don't get what it is. Maybe it's vibes or like energy. Maybe I need a girl that's like feminine looking with like masculine energy. Maybe that's what my thing is. I don't know.
Abby, did you say before that you are into Telly, but Telly, you said that you're not.
Yeah, Telly rejected me.
Is that what you...
I did say that, Jess. Thank you for bringing it up. So fucking Tully's like, why wouldn't you tell me you're bi? Also, why haven't you hit on me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, do you want to go on a date then, Tully? She goes, no. Because
I said I would go on a date with you.
But babe, it's too far gone now. I feel like I'm a type. You aren't into my type.
It's a bit weird for me because I do feel like your big sister. Like, yeah. You're like my mini me. Like, I feel like you're a mini version of me. And I do feel, as I said, I literally use the word like mother hen or like mother duck.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit like fucking Freudian.
Also, we'd have like a really like feisty, aggressive relationship because we're the same person. It would be like my mum, like she's the same person as me. And I get so frustrated with her because she's me. So I feel like we would get very like.
I will say you did send me a pretty fucking sexy video.
When? What did I send you?
You were wearing this fucking amazing like corset lingerie.
The lingerie. Yeah,
and
yes.
I thought you were just showing me the lingerie because you went to my friend Baby Likes to Pony in Sydney, hands down the most amazing lingerie shop in Sydney, owned by my friend Meg. But you'd been papped there or something, and I was like, oh, what'd you get? And you sent me a video, and I'm just watching a video, and I was like, oh, she looks amazing. And then I was like, oh.
My pussy was shown, wasn't it?
You were touching yourself.
Oh yeah, I was. Babe,
I'm just putting the moves on, aren't you?
This is going to be a fucking Daily Mail article.
Oh, for Abby Chatfield molests Telly Small. That's a sexually assault. Assault claim.
I meant to tell you this. I don't know why I didn't. I think I even screen grabbed it to send to you, but didn't send to you. How did this come about? I put up a throwback photo of Danny, Ruby Rose and I from like when we were kids.
Oh, I saw that.
It was so cute. It was so cute.
So okay. Cute.
And Danny responded to it. It was like, you know, babies or haha. And then we had a brief like check-in. He was like, someone said to me, oh, that would be a really hot threesome. You, Ruby Rose and Danny. And I told him that. And he was like, oh my God, can you imagine that threesome? And I was like, dude, I'd be terrified of you both. Like you're both... a
Do
lot
too
in
much.
Bed. And then I think one of, I don't know if it was him or me, fuck, but one of us was like, I think we start talking about a threesome with you, me and Danny.
Babe, I just masturbated about a threesome with Danny and a mysterious girl. So maybe we could like set that up.
I'm terrified.
Maybe, really serious.
I'm terrified of Danny's dick. Like it would split me in half.
Well, no, Abby, Tully's going to Sydney for Christmas. So you
I am.
I'm actually going to be in Sydney then as well, babe.
I'm
going to be in Sydney in December sometime.
I'm terrified.
Danny's penis.
I'm terrified for whoever is around us when we finally get to meet in real life. Like it's going to be, it's going to be so fucked. It's going to be so boozy. It's going to be so loud. Like
I'm so excited.
I feel sorry for whatever mutual friend we're with. Like we'll take 100 photos.
No, it was of us too.
We'll probably go.
I think we need to have some alone time because I feel like the friend.
I'm actually blushing.
We'll have alone time because as though I feel like whoever's the third person will like feel like a bit left out. And I do mean in the threesome and in the conversation. Like I feel like Danny, I feel like if we had a threesome with Danny, that she would just be like him being like, guys, can I?
Or like hello? Hi, I'm still.
Can I go, like, guys?
Maybe like having sex and he'd be like, can I touch a tear? Like, what am I doing?
Stick a finger somewhere.
Yeah, he's like, is there any involvement here? Like, I have the biggest dick in Australia and you guys are not. Like,
Danny, read the room, mate. Show yourself out, mate.
Danny,
sit in the corner and film it. Sit in the corner and film it in case Abby and I ever get broke again and we need to sell that shit.
Dude, OnlyFans energy. We have a joint OnlyFans, us three.
I'm surprised you don't have an OnlyFans.
No, I have time. My agent and I literally, like, I have time to make the content. Like, it's actually, like, he takes me on a sign. He's like, babe, I was like, oh, a new OnlyFans video. Whatever the fuck I sent him, something weird probably. And he was like, babe, we don't have time for that content. And I was
like,
it's so true.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a great video if you need one. All right, guys.
Okay. I'm so sorry to wrap this up.
I'll wrap it.
One final question for you, Abby. What's next for you? What exciting projects do you have coming up? What's going on?
Oh my God, babe. Well, I'm trying to write a book. I've got the book deal.
Nice.
Yeah, it's called Slut. But it's like, so let's unpack that, which is a genius title that wasn't thought of by me. It's by my publisher. Everyone's like, that's so smart of you. And I'm like, I just can't take credit for that. Like it was the publisher.
That's fucking brilliant though.
Yeah, it's really brilliant. And it's basically like a little like baby feminist book, that I'm writing, but like we said that in quotation marks. And that's about it, babe. Like nothing else excited. I'm trying to just continue this.
Yeah. This has been so fun. I feel like we've actually got to hang out.
I know.
We've gotten a little booze together.
I know. You can come on my podcast, but I feel like if we're in Sydney at the same time, we'll just do it in person then.
Yeah, I would have loved to have done this in person, but I knew it was probably just going to be easier to do it like this.
We can do another one. We can do another one about us.
Absolutely. Jess, I'm so sorry that you didn't get a single word in with chat.
I was literally messaging Tommy halfway through going, this is just great chat. I'm not going to interrupt. They're killing it.
Oh, my God.
Were worried. I said, bless her heart. We've had two big interviews this week. One with my ex-boyfriend who Jess had a crush on when he was on the show. So she was never.
How many crushes have you had, Jess?
That's too many. No, I mean, to be fair, they're just like the ones that we've brought. Like Danny, definitely.
Okay. Wow, it's competition.
Thought we were friends.
Okay, Jess. Well.
But don't worry, I'm a good gal. Like ex-boyfriends are off limits and right. Current ones. Who else is there? That's kind of it, isn't it?
She was great. But then I said, she said, I'm nervous about Abby too. I was like, what, Abby? I'm like, she'll be fine. She goes, no, but you two are just so, you're both such big personalities. She's like, I won't be able to keep up. So maybe you just felt more comfortable
I was just sitting here enjoying it. I got a front row seat.
We usually just
didn't even follow the freaking
I know. We usually stick to the run. I knew we wouldn't though. I kind of didn't even want to fill it out.
People always make structures and it's to me and I'm like, ignore. Because I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. But thank you so much. It is good to see your face. I wish you all the best in whatever you're up to.
That sounds like I've been talking to you. I wish you all the best in your life and au revoir.
I wish you all kind regards. I'm wrapping this up for the podcast, but I'll probably fucking text you in a second.
Yeah, I'll text you soon.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you can catch Too Much Tully wherever you listen to your podcast. You can find us on Instagram @TooMuchTully, and I will see you next Tuesday.